Okay, good evening, everyone. How's the volume? Good?
Yes.
Meaning you can't hear me, so it's good, or you can hear me, so it's good? You could hear me, okay. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he was a great visionary. He was a Torah builder. He built the Yeshiva Torah Vadas in America. Pre-war, post-war, he really saved American Jewry along with a small group, a handful of Rabbanim in America. And he used to remark that he has one very clear, ironclad raya, a proof to the absoluteness of Torah min HaShemayim, a testament to the fact that Nitzchias HaTorah is divinely ordained. His proof, he said his proof was the fact that unaffiliated Jews, Jews with no connection to Torah, no background in learning, and no desire to engage in Talmud Torah whatsoever, even those Jews still support yeshivas, kolalim, and Torah institutions. That someone so disconnected, so far removed from Torah, could simultaneously feel so magnetically drawn to the groups and the organizations whose sole focus is the learning and teaching of Torah, that is the greatest sign that there's an eternal emes, there's an absolute divine truth to the power of Torah. While this statement packs much meaning, and it does resonate deeply on an objective level, it doesn't really speak to me. It has not been my personal experience. In our initial attempts to open and build a Makom Torah here in LA, we have been supported by donors who not only identify with, but participate in the Talmud Torah experience. Our supporters are in the Beis Medrash. They're at the Shirim, they're making Siyumim on Shas Bavli. Those are our supporters of Torah. Over the next few moments, I'd like to offer a bit of a perspective, a little bit of an idea of how this can come to be. How it could be that someone could be so involved in Talmud Torah, so involved in the support of Talmud Torah, and how in truth, those go hand in hand. But first, the Rambam. Towards the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam delineates for us the people who are chayiv, who are obligated in the mitzvah of learning, in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In that context, he writes, and I'll read for you, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael, every Jewish man, chayiv b'Talmud Torah, must learn Torah. He's obligated in Talmud Torah. Bein ani, bein ashir, whether he's poor or whether he's wealthy. Bein shalim begufo, bein bal yisurin, whether he's good in health or whether he suffers, whether he's afflicted. Bein bachar, bein shayazak in gadol, whether he's young, whether he's old, he has no energy, he is weak. Ani misparnis min atzdaka, it doesn't matter. Afilu bal ishu banim, he has many children. Chayiv, he has to learn to be legvoa lo zman l'talmud Torah, bayom of alayla, to learn day and night. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. And the question really jumps off the page. If you and I were asked to ghostwrite this halacha in the Rambam, we would not be likely to compose it in such a long way. It wouldn't be such a long sentence. We would simply write, Kol ish mi Yisrael, every Jewish male, chayiv v'talmud Torah, must learn Torah. Shenemar v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla, shtein pasuk, that a person has to learn every single day, morning and night. What's with the arichas? Why does the Rambam offer such a long sentence? Every Jew, whether he's rich, whether he's poor, whether he's healthy or afflicted, young or old, single or married, everyone needs to learn Torah. What does money have to do with it? Every Jew has to take a lulav. There's no need to discuss one's economic status. Your IRS statements or your 401k have no impact. They're not a factor in your obligation in Shmiras Shabbos. Why here, of all places in Hilchos Talmud Torah, does the Rambam preempt some seeming havamina, some potential misunderstanding that an ashir or an ani, a poor person or a rich person, would be pater, would be exempt from Talmud Torah? We'll return to that, b'li neder mirtz Hashem, but first another detour. We're all familiar with the Soloveitchik family, the Brisker dynasty, Beis Harav. We know of the Beis Halevi, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik. We know of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his son. We know of his two sons, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, the Rav in Boston and Yeshiva University. We know of the Soloveitchik dynasty. But where do they come from? Who predates them? Who's their ancestor that was Zocha, that merited to have such a family? The answer is a very, very fascinating one. Moshe Soloveitchik was a gvir. He was a wealthy, philanthropic individual who lived in the generation of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was a tremendous tzaddik, He was a bat staka par excellence, and he gave and he gave and he gave until one day he suddenly lost his entire fortune. Every penny he had to his name was down the drain. The community was in shock. Ein lecha tzaddik v'ralo gadol mizeh. It was such an impossible thing to understand. How could such a tzaddik, such a bat staka, lose everything that he had? It was so troublesome, and this is really amazing. It was so troublesome to the community that Rav Chaim Volozhiner himself convened a Beis Din. He got the Gedolei Torah of that generation together, and he asked them to render a psak halacha, to try to figure out, to try to decide, why is it that Moshe Soloveitchik lost all of his money? Unbelievable. They gave him an answer, and he didn't accept it. He didn't believe in their answer. The story continues. With no money to his name, Moshe Soloveitchik took his only option. He fled to the Beis Medrash, he buried himself in Svarim, and he learned Yomam Valaila. He grew to become a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He eventually became the Av Beis Din of Kovna, and he was followed by his children and his children's children, who grew and grew as Lamdanim in their own rights, the generations we mentioned a few short moments ago, the Beis Harav, the Soloveitchik dynasty. When Rav Chaim Volozhiner saw the rapid upturn, the success in learning that Moshe Soloveitchik had in the Beis Medrash, he remarked that now he knows the answer. Now he knows why Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had to lose all of his money. He said it was clear, this is amazing, it was clear from all of the tzedaka and the chesed that Moshe Soloveitchik did in his lifetime as a gvir, as a philanthropic individual, from all of that chesed, he was deserving of creating a house of Talmidei Chachamim, of siring a dynasty of the Brisker dynasty, of the Soloveitchik family. That was his schus, he deserved it. The problem was this: such a family of Torah cannot possibly emanate from such a house of wealth. It's too distracting. It can't be that we could have such Talmidei Chachamim come from a world of Gashmius. And so because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to orchestrate things as such that Moshe Soloveitchik would lose all of his money, run to the Beis Medrash, and create for himself a shame in the Beis Medrash, become a Talmid Chacham, create a family of Talmidei Chachamim through anias, through poverty. But this wasn't Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Chiddush. It's a Gemara Nedarim. Chazal say in the Gemara Nedarim, Pei Aleph Mem Aleph, Chazal say, "He's haru bivnei aniyim." Be careful with the way you treat the impoverished. "He's haru bivnei aniyim, shemehen teitzei sora." For it is from there which Torah springs forth. Complete commitment, unwavering allegiance, unbroken focus on Talmud Torah, that can only come from those who have no material wealth. Those whose sole goal is the attainment of spiritual wealth, whose only piece of Olam Hazeh is the block Gemara in front of them at that very moment. The forfeiture of extravagance and indulgence is a necessary step in the process of growth in Talmud Torah. And yet, we find a seeming exception to this rule. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Lamed Vav tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the personification, the embodiment of a concept of Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. The Gemara goes back and forth about this, but the conclusion of the Gemara is that that means that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was uniquely blessed, duly blessed, with both godless in Torah, godless in material wealth. He was a Talmud Chacham Migdoli Hador. He was Moshiach and Shel Yisrael. He put down the Mishnah for us and saved it for all eternity, for all posterity. And he was also an Usher Muflag, incredibly wealthy. The Gemara in Brachas Nadav Nun Zayin, the entire time that Rebbe was alive, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, the Gemara says, Elu Rebbe Yehuda Nasi V'Antoninus, the two wealthiest people who, even in the times of a famine, even the times of a drought, they were never lacking for the most extravagant of foods on their tables. They had everything Rebbe wanted for nothing. Unparalleled wealth coupled with unparalleled Chachmas HaTorah. But how could that be? Isn't that a stira? Isn't that a contradiction? He's haru bivnei aniyim, we're told. Pas bamelach tochal. The only way a person grows in learning, says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, is if they're eating bread and salt and nothing else. Poverty is the root to godless in Torah. So how do we find Torah u'gedula b'malkom echad? How can you have a Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi who excels in the business world and also becomes the Gadol Hador? How is it possible to have the two in one place, such material heights together with such spiritual heights? The answer to the question lies in a very, very simple misunderstanding. Why is it that mibnei aniyim teitzei sora? Why is that Torah comes from the home of the impoverished? Why is it natural that the flow of Torah will come only from a house of the impoverished people? Why is that what the Gemara assumes? Why is that the assessment of Chazal? The Ran, in his commentary on Nedarim, explains. He says it's not some sgula. It's not some superstitious fortune that only poor people get to become Talmidei Chachamim. It's very logical. It's very sensible. There's a reason we can all relate to over here. The Aniyim generally merit success in learning because, quote, Ein lahem esek acher. They simply have no other business other than learning. They have no stocks to manage. They have no shoes to buy. They have no yacht to sail, no steak to eat. All they have is Torah. Their only olam hazeh, their only hana'ah, the only enjoyment they feel in this world is the blat, Gemara, in front of them. It's dafka the aniyim, particularly those who have no material distractions, ein lahem esek acher, who are more naturally successful in building homes based on Torah and Talmud Torah, and therefore, mehem teitze Torah. With that understanding, we start to realize this is not some gezeira. There's no bas kol which calls out and decrees hatzlacha and learning to the poor, tearing it away from the wealthy. It's simple logic. Someone who's constantly distracted by gashmius will have trouble completely submerging himself in ruchnius. Someone who has no materialism will much more easily commit himself to ceaseless starim, sleepless nights of learning, a lifestyle of amelas batorah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had all the money in the world. He wanted for nothing. He could very easily have slipped into that endless abyss of gashmius, chasing this world's material pleasures throughout his lifetime. But Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, with all his ashiras, he had a mindset of an ani. He had the mindset of a poor person. His single-minded, all-encompassing obsession with Torah allowed him to direct all of his capabilities, financial and intellectual, on one goal, Torah. The fact that he was an Ashir did not stop him from living a life of Ein Lo Esek Acher, no other schora, no other business, no other focus, just sitting and steiging and learning. And so Rebbe became Torah Ugedula B'Makom Echad. We can't be expected to spurn materialism entirely. We're humans. We have needs, we have wants, desires which are sometimes rejected, sometimes indulged in. Within the realm of permissibility, the world is here for us to enjoy. But we can accomplish Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad. If we make Talmud Torah the driving force behind us and the sole goal before us, we can utilize our means, our ashiras, our capabilities, our talents to grow in Torah and mitzvos. We can utilize every aspect of our lives, the brachos and the challenges, including the material successes, to show ourselves and to display to our children what really matters. The ashiras does not have to be an impediment to godless batorah. It can be the means to the greatest of achievements in ruchnias too. Morris Silver is a model of Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad. This Siyum HaShas is fantastic. It's wonderful, it's special, it's impressive. But that's not even half of it. Maybe you've seen him in the Gemara between Aliyos, finishing Shas. But have you seen the 5 minutes before early Mincha when he sits being Mavir Sedra with a Chumash and tugs on Evan's shirt and bothers him with some annoying question or Rashi on the Parsha? Have you seen that? Have you seen Shabbos morning when he goes over to Rabbi Per with a Kasha on a Rashi and a Tosos from 2 weeks ago, Daf? A question that the Achronim deal with, that Rabbi Per happens to always know, but that's just good fortune. It's the reason he doesn't ask me. Have you noticed, probably no one knows this, that Morris Silver changed his work schedule so that every single Friday morning he can be at a shir consistently, more consistently than the people there that don't have work to go to, and he's able to change his schedule so that he never has to miss the shir week after week? This Siyum HaShas is not part of Morris's life. This is his life. Talmud Torah, growth, a pining for deeper knowledge and understanding, that's his asek. That's his business. The fact that the Silver family is the leading donor to our kollel, it's not a separate coincidence. Talmud Torah is their asek. It's their single-minded obsession. It's their focus. It's their goal. The use of material success to build and propel a kollel goes hand in hand with the use of intellectual faculties to pursue the depths of Chachmas HaTorah. Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. And it should come as no surprise then that we witness someone like Evan coming from a house like this. Evan learns and davens intensely every day. He asked me about my shiurim when I don't remember giving those shiurim. He's a budding Talmud Chacham with a passion and a work ethic that I have not seen by many Yoshve-based medrash. And it should come as no surprise. It's not surprising. The Gemara says, he's haru bivinei aniyim, a family with a mindset of ein lahem ela esek echad, just one focus, one goal. A family like that produces these kind of peros. We began with a question. Why is it that the Rambam tells us specifically by Talmud Torah that even an usher, even an ani, not only everyone else, but even an usher, even an ani, has to engage as obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Of course they must. It's like any other mitzvah. But the truth is that we may have thought differently. Talmud Torah demands such attention, such rigor, such intense focus and motivation that how could someone blessed with the challenges of Ashiras possibly make the time and the headspace for learning? The job is just too demanding. The markets are too unpredictable. The family money, it's too valuable to turn our attention for even a moment. And truthfully, we've been sugarcoating poverty. How is a pauper, a beggar, someone without a penny to his name, supposed to find the time and the energy to learn Torah? Can he really conquer Ksubis while scrounging around for his next meal? Can he study Maseches Sota while his stomach growls in hunger and his children look at him with their blackened faces staring at him hopelessly? Shouldn't the usher and the ani alike be pater? They should be exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Anas Rachmana Patre. Their hands are tied. They have no way to learn. They can't possibly stick to a schedule that meet the demands that exist for Haslacha and Talmud Torah. We may have thought all of that. Comes the Rambam and says, Bein ani, bein asher, rich or poor, young or old, strong or weak, we all must learn. We all must grow. We all must engage in the beautiful, endless pursuit of Chachmas HaTorah. But what's the answer? How does an usher make time to learn? How does an ani focus on a block Gemara? The question is, in fact, the answer. The challenge is really the solution. How does an usher become a Talmud Chacham? With his ashiras, with his wealth. How does an ani become a gadol b'Torah? Because of his anius. The ani has challenges. He has no business. Ein lo asek. But that itself is what can help him focus so intently, single-mindedly on Torah. The usher is busy. He has a great fortune to manage and to direct. That can be time-consuming. That can be all-consuming. But it can also be the means through which he supports and connects to Talmud Torah. The ashiras can be a distraction from learning, or it can be a medium through which he shows himself and his family that learning is truly the only asek in his life as well. It's all a matter of perspective. It's a matter of mindset. The very, very same Chazal who taught us, "He's haru b'vnei aniyim, shemehem teitzei Torah," that same Chazal taught us, "Torah u'gedula b'makom echad." It all depends on what we see as our asek, our business, our goal, our focus. The Torah is for everyone. Talmud Torah is for everyone. Those who support Torah must also learn Torah. And those who learn Torah must also support Torah. But whatever age, whatever stage, whatever status, Talmud Torah is there for the taking. Torah is munachas bekeren zavis. It lies waiting for you in the corner. It's waiting for you to grab it, to take hold, to make time and space in your life to commit yourself to excelling in learning. We need to make time in our lives to engage in Dvar Hashem, in the Beis Medrash, in the Shul, in the Kolel, in the home, so that we can begin the experience of Ein Lo Esek Acher. The Torah is our only true love, our only true success, our only true endeavor in this world. I speak on behalf of the Kolel and I thank the Silver family, along with all of our supporters, financial and otherwise, for not making only our learning possible, but for helping us make your learning more attainable. We thank you for setting the gold standard, the silver standard, on what it means to be deeply committed and connected to Talmud Torah. We continue to look to all of you as models of Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. Thank you and mazel tov.